Hey, this is Tony Soprano, and you're listening to Jersey Boys Podcast with your hosts, Dave Sturcio and the Ernst Boys. I mean, I could give a shit about the Cowboys. We're New Jersey. These guys got balls being Cowboys fans in Jersey. Anyways, enjoy. Well, whatever.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!
What's going on, Cowboys Nation? Welcome to another episode and edition of the Jersey Boys Podcast, coming to you right here on the Mile 21 YouTube channel and wherever you get your podcasts on the old Big Pond Podcast Network. It is nationally known comedian Brett Ernst. It is the Grinch, Keith Ernst. I'm not going to screw this up. The America's fan. And of course, myself, Dave Sturcio, back with you guys as roster cutdowns and waiver wires and practice squads and all that fun stuff has already kind of came and went. So now we kind of got a better idea of what we're looking at as far as the 2026 Dallas Cowboys. Some big shocking moves. You know, we were all together on the group chat and stuff like that when certain things were happening. Very, very shocked about certain moves. But then again, you wait and you see if they clear. And if they clear, like, we're going to bring them back. But I don't know. I'll start off with this. Did you guys see Schottenheimer's press conference yesterday, Keith, Brett, anyone?
No, I did not.
Okay. All right. So if you weren't sold on Schottenheimer yet, which again, we kind of like tread lightly. You don't want to go nuts. You don't want to go Kool-Aid. But listen, now hear me out. Hear me out. This is really good. Really good stuff. Now, Schottenheimer said that a lot of the guys were informed about their release before cutdown day. Basically, like either Friday night, Saturday into Sunday, whatever, before the announcement started to come through. And he said a lot of the guys that, you know, when you release somebody, you're basically going to say one of two things: thanks for everything, or, you know, hey, we're hoping you clear waivers, we would love to bring you back, right? So a couple of the guys, Patrick Walker, all the guys at the press conference, were asking him, well, what did you tell Jaden Blue and Phil Maffa? Did you tell them that you were hoping they would clear waivers? And he's like, no, we didn't tell those guys that. And I was like, what? Like, it just felt ruthless, Keith. It felt like this was like, I'm not here to make money, or I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to win championships.
That's actually pretty ruthless, because usually they would say, well, there are players we talk to, there are players we don't talk to, that we keep that between us, or something like that. But he just came out and said no.
He just basically, like, he was like, yeah, no, like they were not one of the ones we were informed that we wanted to bring. He goes, I wanted to be transparent. I wanted to be, you know, I was like, whew, all right, keep going, Shotty. Keep going.
Well, I don't understand why that's a good sign. Because
times out of 10, you'll get the coach speak, Brett. You'll get like the, hey, great effort. Yeah,
he's
great,
just saying, he's saying like it is instead of bullshit. He's telling people, right, like, he didn't care if he hurt anyone's feelings or Jordan Blue's feelings or anyone like that by coming out and saying, not in the hurt, from the press. Right.
Well. Or,
he
or
was not in the hurt feelings business.
Okay. Yeah.
Just saying.
I kind of get it.
I don't know why, but he was saying he said that to other players, or he just didn't say it to anyone.
No, the prototypical coach speak is like when you release somebody.
Right. Yeah. Hey, good luck to you, whatever.
Right. But normally they'll be like, listen, we love you so much. If you clear waivers, we would love to have you back. You say that to most guys. If like they're on the cusp of the 53, When they asked about Phil Maffa and Jaden Blue, they're like, "Nah, we didn't have that conversation."
But I'm saying, like, did he say that to anybody he cut, or just why specify those two? Like, because
someone asked the question.
That's what they asked. Yeah, they asked the question. So that's
asked specifically Jordan Blue and Phil Maffa. Did you ask? So basically, if I'm talking and I'm Schottenheimer and I'm like, "Yeah," so we had a conversation. I made it clear that I want you back if you clear waivers, and if not, we just say see you later. And then someone specifically asked about Jordan Blue and Phil Maffa, and he said, no, I did not tell them I wanted them on the practice.
I wonder why, though. Like, I thought it was going to be a tough decision to decide the running back room. Well, I guess it wasn't.
It looks like going into yesterday, before the waiver claims, we were riding with Malik Davis, who all three of us agreed he was running like an animal all preseason. He had a good camp, so it made sense. But to just have Jaden, just to have Malik Davis behind Javonte Williams, and of course you got Hunter Lipke, like, you're looking at this, you're like, all right, there's got to be something down the pike. There's got to be something that they're doing behind the scenes that we don't know about. And sure enough,
they picked up from the Chiefs, right? The one that used to run for the Cardinals. What's his name?
Right. Yeah. DeMarcado. So he was with Clayton Adams in Arizona. And I read articles about James Conner being a candidate to trade for because he was coming off injury, and they're like, they want to reunite somebody from Arizona. And all of a sudden, like, the Chiefs, you know, went ahead and got rid of Dean Mercado. And like, we never, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but it doesn't feel like we ever use those waiver claims. You know, we never claim guys off waivers. And like, we were like, yo, we're 12th on waivers, put in a claim for him. So that's, to me, that says something. They had a plan. I don't know. But the bigger news after all this, and I know Brett wanted to bring this up. We were talking a little bit about it in the pre, but like the Joe Milton release was a little off-putting considering our last episode title was Joe Milton locks up quarterback two because of how good he was playing. And again, that's my fault. I'm the one who makes the titles. But like, Jesus Christ, like I didn't expect this at all. Keith, why, even if they bring him back on practice squad and clears waivers, which we're waiting to hear news about that, but like, why? What did we not?
Well,
see?
Let Brett speak first because I don't want to. Go ahead, bro. What were you gonna say? You
said I read online that was more for Milton, that he might have had a shot at it at a position on another team.
And really?
That's what I said.
See, now that's where I'm a little suspect because
I don't know if I believe.
Right. But I believe that's why they didn't release him with the initial 53. And the reason I say that is they didn't want him to get picked up.
Right.
Because usually by the next day, everyone has their quarterback situation handled.
Right.
And now, now we're releasing him now that everyone's already figured it out. So now they can bring him back on the practice squad. I am definitely shocked by that. I'm shocked by him, and I'm shocked by Jordan Blue. I don't understand. Jaden Blue. You hear that they're both having a good camp, and they both had pretty good preseasons. But I say this all the time. We don't know what goes on in NFL locker rooms. It's very, very tight-lipped. That's why I'm surprised Shoddy came out and said what you just said about him not asking them back to come to the practice squad about Blue and Mafa. Usually you don't hear stuff like that. But my whole thing is that as well as they both did, we don't know. We don't know the reasons. We don't really truly know the reasons why. Now, I heard one from Chad Johnson, which was interesting. His theory, and when you think about it, because I'm a part of a lot of Dallas Cowboy pages on social media, and I saw quite a few after the second preseason game, not this last one, where people were actually saying, who would you rather start, Joe Milton or Dak Prescott? There were people out there pulling that. I'm not messing with you, dude. And I've seen it, and I can find it and show you guys. And I thought it was ridiculous too, but Chad Johnson thinks they may have done it because they don't want Dak to fall. If Dak has one bad game, that's the last thing they want to hear is people coming out and saying, bench Dak. They don't want that distraction in the locker room. That's how, only because Joe Milton has gotten popular. We haven't had a popular quarterback behind Dak since Romo. Correct?
That's very fair.
This is the most popular quarterback we had. Shit, so people were saying that about Cooper Rush. I was saying it about Cooper Rush. I ain't gonna lie, when Dak was slipping. So I meant there could be some validity to that, but I don't know.
So you think maybe to avoid a controversy. My theory on it was basically that that Milton last year didn't know the offense. This year he was getting a grasp of it. They figured, okay, if we cut him, nobody's going to really – if he clears waivers, we can have our cake and eat it too. And it gives him more time to learn the offense more. Like, I guess he wasn't a film guy.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, because then that goes against why you would keep a Sam Howell. He's brand new to the film. He's brand new to the team.
Yeah, so, but he might
Okay, bro.
No, I'm saying he might have a better grasp of the offense. Who knows?
Possibly. I don't know. I mean, I think Milton had a grasp of the offense because, I mean, at least that's what he said. Remember when that's why he said he was playing so well. And the way he was playing in preseason looked like I believed him. But regardless, what Sam Howell does have is 18 starts in the NFL. And Joe Milton has one at the end of the New England Patriots season. That's it. So that could have had something to do with it. But, dude, you got – the Falcons are keeping four quarterbacks. You have people that are keeping, you know, three quarterbacks. If anyone should have kept three quarterbacks, it's us.
I agree, man. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get why.
What I was reading is that there was a heavy rumor that Joe Milton was the one that said, hey, listen, I'm obviously not going to be the quarterback of the Cowboys. That's Dak Prescott. But can you give me another shot? Can I be released? Can you release me?
That's what been, I heard. That's the one I was talking
about. That's what Bert said.
No, that's been deaded by multiple reports that it's not true. But what I will say is I don't think Dak Prescott to me is not emotionally fragile in that sense where it's like he's not going to have somebody breathing down his neck. He don't give a shit. I don't see – listen, that happens in pro wrestling all the time. Guys get, like, let go or released because it's like you feel like you're on the cusp of taking the top spot. But anybody who came out and said that there was a there was going to be some kind of battle between Dak Prescott and Joe Milton at the quarterback one, you're all just clueless, and that's
– Well, you know, what people are saying, too, is, you know, what? Look, whenever there's a team is failing, you know, and look, there were seasons where Dak was just not – he was the problem.
He wasn't as trustworthy as he is right now.
Right. And they don't want a controversy anywhere because that's the first person's they always call for the head of the head coach or they call for the head of the quarterback. But, you know, that's par for the course. That can happen with any backup. Even if Dak is fucking up this year, they're going to say Sam Howell. Put Sam in. But, you know, it's better. I mean, you don't listen to the masses like that. And
yeah, people were talking like Milton was the future, though. That was the new thing. What's that?
I was going to say, think of it like this. And like Dak Prescott's in his 30s, right? And you would think that he's got probably like, if I had a guess, 3 or 4 more good years. And then maybe it starts to deteriorate. Milton's very young. So if you looked at Milton as if like he's the future of the Cowboys, I'm not getting mad at it. You know, like I'm not like
me neither. Yeah,
something he was like a project, if anything. But like,
yeah,
you know, well, I wasn't mad at that.
You mean if you were Dak, if you were Dak, you're not getting mad at it, you're saying,
right? That's what I'm saying. Like he's like, yeah. All right, buddy, no. I'll teach you my ways. You know,
but here's the thing, bro. Here's the thing. It's a different time, man. Like there might be a chance Dak plays to 43, 44 years old. I mean, times have changed.
The rules being the way they are, and then you can't get.
No, that's my point. Yeah. I mean, you got all these quarterbacks playing in their 40s now.
I think there's something that is internal that we don't know why they cut him because on paper with the eye test and on paper it doesn't make sense. I mean, I thought we need to keep 3. Ideally, I would say it should go Dak, Milton, and then Howell.
Yeah, so but apparently, you know, the corresponding there's always a corresponding move. You know how you have to like make the room and stuff. The corresponding move was the release of Joe Milton happened because of the claim of DeMarcado. So it's like, do we need another running back or do we need 3 quarterbacks? Like,
I don't believe that shit.
That's what it was.
No, I know what they said. And that's what, I don't know if the Dallas Cowboys said that, but I know that's what the writers were saying. I'm not buying that.
Well, no, I mean, you got to release somebody. There's no room for
it. But why Joe, you're releasing a person we thought solidified the backup position. It's not like there's so many other players you could release besides Joe Milton.
You and I and Brett was on stage, I think. You and I were watching the game in real time, and there was a lot of Isaiah Stanback love for Sam Howell and saying, oh, this is a competition now. We're all like, dude, relax. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're like, oh, shit, wait a minute. You know, so the whole thing feels fishy. As of right now, I just checked. Nobody's claimed them yet. But you like to your point, Keith, you said it too. You're like, you know, Jerry Jones in the front office playing a little chess here because it's like, let's wait until the rosters are set and then we can release them. Because if you release them now, think about it like this, and this is how I think about it. If there's 53 guys locked on a roster, that means and I'm sure there were a lot of tough decisions by 32 teams. If everybody's rosters are locked and everybody goes through the waiver process and all this other crap, right? And they're like, all right, now we can do it. Because if you think about it, if somebody releases, I don't know, the 4th corner or 5th corner on their team or something to make room for Joe Milton. Now, all of a sudden, that corner's out there on waivers and everybody's going to make a play for that guy because he should have made a 53-man roster somewhere. So domino effect.
No, for sure. That makes sense.
You know, it's a domino effect. But
I was going to say, if you know what team I think should pick him up? Miami. I would pick him up. Yeah, the Dolphins. I would say the Dolphins.
If they're already predicting Malik Willis to run all over the place,
To give
it to Milton.
I'm sure Milton can fit into the offense that they created for Malik just fine.
Oh.
Not because Dak's offense is a little more complicated opposed to, you know, Malik's going to be rolling out a lot more. You know what I mean? It's going to be a completely different offense. So I think he goes to the Dolphins. If he doesn't, he'll be back on our team. practice squad. Maybe he doesn't want to be on our practice squad. That's another thing. Because you could tell him F off. If someone else wants him on a practice squad, he could leave the Cowboys and go to it.
Well, according to the new rules, you can go back to college.
Well, they put Hudson on the practice squad. He's not going back to college. The kid that blew it up in the preseason game? The young kid, Jordan Hudson, whatever his name was.
Okay.
Yeah, he was killing it. And they were saying that he might go back to college after this game, which is crazy because he killed it, but they put him on the practice squad. So maybe that's not.
You know what's going to happen? And I know it sounds not – college was always college, and then whoever was the best went to the pros. Now the college is going to end up being a farm league for the NFL more so than the point. You know what I mean?
They have to regulate. Like
minor league baseball.
Right. They have to regulate this.
It's going to trickle down, I think, and fuck up scholarships for regular kids.
But think about it like this, man. Like you go to, you try to get drafted, you don't get drafted. Then you go try to be a walk-on at, like, just for instance, the kid from LSU or Ole Miss goes to the Philadelphia Eagles, gets cut, right? And he's like, hey, no, but we're going to bring it back on practice squad and pay you $120,000 to $200,000. And he's like, fuck that, I'm about to make 2.1 at LSU. The fuck?
Yes.
I can be a linebacker. I'm like, what the fuck? He's going to ruin all, like, NIL I knew was going to be a problem, but now this is a whole nother layer of problem. But anyway, I digress with all that shit. But listen, the Cowboys, any other head scratchers to you guys as far as moves made?
Milton and Blue were my two.
I was a little bent about Reddy Stewart, but he's back on the practice squad already, which is good. Because I said that dude, but from what I've been telling everybody, and I told my brother this, and I think I told you guys this in a text, like, I feel like Christian Parker is out there not only just cleaning house, but, like, getting rid of, the stains, the Abarfalus stains on the carpet. They're like, if you're any way linked to Eberflus's defense, if you're a star, then you're a star no matter what defense you're in. So, meaning, like, anybody that's left over that is good, Overshawn, and guys that we think are going to be great in the league. But if you were, like, that seventh-round pick from last year, and they're like, oh, you never know. You don't have a prayer.
I'm a little worried about our defense again now.
What?
And I'm worried. Look at Sturge. He gets all like, what are you talking about? Dude, we're going to be awesome, bro.
It's going to be great.
This is what I'm worried about is our D line. And when I say that is, and I didn't realize this until I looked. Because I was looking at, who we cut, who we kept, and, we kept 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got 5 defensive tackles. And I understand the names are big, Quinnen Williams and Kenny Clark specifically. But, dude, they're both going into their 12 seasons. That's a lot of fucking football, dude. And those are two of our anchors. And when you have a defensive tackle like that, I think of Dontari Poe. Or people that had great careers, but after they hit a certain time, like,
wait,
I don't know. That's what worries me. I don't know. I'm worried about the legs. I'm worried about the, what's that?
Kenny Clark and who?
Quinnen Williams.
Quinnen Williams is a kid.
Is he?
He's brand new. Like,
he's 28.
He's a kid.
Yeah, he's.
Kenny Clark is also not that old. Like, I understand, like, your.
Oh, no, sorry. No, I read that wrong. Quinnen Williams is in his eighth or ninth year. I meant, so Kenny Clark, 11. Jonathan Bullard, 11. LT Overton's the kid we just drafted, right?
Yeah, and that's a Christian Parker.
I think, draft. Right, from Alabama, yes. who's not playing bad. He's not playing bad.
No, not at all.
And then we have another 00, which I can't pronounce. Atito
Agbanaya. Oh, yeah.
What's that?
I said, okay.
That guy.
Yep, him.
Yep, that guy. So he's in his fifth. But that's the only thing that gets me nervous is the rotation for that. Because I'm afraid that we're going to start getting our D-line's going to be getting pushed back a little bit.
I'm actually relatively excited about the outside. Because remember, when you moved to the 3-4, and I was talking to my dad about this. When you moved to that 3-4, there's not going to be, like, those edge rushers, right? They're outside linebackers now. That's the designation for them. The rotation on that alone really looks good. Like,
it looks great.
Von Miller is going to get like 7 or 8 sacks this year, and he's going to play like 27% of the snaps. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not going to need to be out there every single down. So that's why I think this also leads to my confidence level kind of rising a little bit on the secondary, considering I think we're finally going to generate some pressure without a guy named Micah Parsons, right? And that's another one that was on the bubble was the Sam Williams move when they cut him. And I'm like, all right, this also makes sense because, you know, how many times did we beat Sam Williams over the head with the whole, like, I can't believe there was another personal foul or roughing the punter?
And I mentioned that in our when you and I were watching the preseason, I said he doesn't look like he's fitting in this defense very well.
Right.
That was one of the texts I sent about him. But what's weird is that Nick Eatman had a different view. He thought he played great and thought he earned a roster spot in that last preseason game, but I didn't see it that way. You know, did he get picked off of waivers?
I did not see that either. And that's another thing I want to bring up. Okay.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to bring up is that they brought up this to Schottenheimer and they said, is this a little alarming to know that this stat, there is 15 players from last year's defense that were cut by the Cowboys either at some point last year or this year, who are no longer they're not employed.
You don't read what I send you?
Well, is that what you said to me?
No, I sent you the whole thing. It says I sent that to you. I was like, this makes me worry about the front office.
Well,
17 of the 26 defenders who were on the Cowboys week one roster a year ago are unemployed right now. 17 fucking that worries me with our front office big time. For them to think that 17 players were good enough to make the team that aren't on a team right now, that's scary, dude.
Is that now, are you scared of
that? But also because we had the 32nd defense in the NFL.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are you?
But I'm just saying, though, but they thought they were good enough. And, you know, if we go back to our opening show before last year and the year before, we're very similar with, you know, Sturch being excited about the defense and stuff like that. I'm not saying you're get excited all the time, but that's what I'm trying to say. Let's wait and see who they picked out. Let's wait and see if they gel. Let's just wait and see if everything is going to work out the way we think or hope it will, because it hasn't in the past. And these guys that are picking out the defenders are the same dudes in the front office. Nobody's changed except Christian Parker. But you know, how much say does he actually have? We don't know.
Well, that leads me to believe that Eberflus had a lot of influence. None of those guys are there anymore.
A lot of those players were there before Eberflus. A lot of them were there before him.
Yeah, but then, if you paint rust, it's still rust. You know what I'm saying? Like you Eberflus comes
in. But your GMs, and those are the people who make the final decision. That's what I'm trying to say. They're the ones that watch the practices. They listen to everyone. They look at the players. They evaluate the players, and they're like, okay. 17 of the 26 defenders that were on our week one roster are not employed by any freaking team right now.
Is there other teams that happened to as well?
No.
Who knows? That could be the new standard. Who knows?
No, it's not. I already searched it.
Another little nugget coming out of the...
Did you search it? Did a Google search?
Another nugget coming out... My mic is working, right? Or am I just like being overpowered?
No, I just said that. That's our new term, Google search. You got to Google search it.
I will say another nugget coming out of that press conference is that the reason why they went and got Broderick Jones is because it's going to be an official open competition with 10 days to go between him and Terrence Steele. Now, I don't know how I feel about the fact that he said that now with 10 days to go. I really wish they would have made a move earlier to have an open competition throughout the whole course of training camp. But I'm cool with that, too. Are you guys okay? Keith, are you okay with an open competition right now, right tackle, 10 days before we're supposed to kick off?
I don't understand. I still don't understand.
Or 11, 12 days, whatever.
I still have a problem understanding. Like, I understand the trade, but I'm like, why would the Steelers give him up for not that much?
Well, I'm getting my shows crossed. Did we talk about him and Aaron Rodgers or no?
No.
Okay. Do you?
Oh, so something happened with them?
Well, all right. So there's a viral clip that went out last year when Aaron Rodgers did something crazy, either threw a touchdown pass or did something. There was an offensive lineman that came out of the woodwork and knocked him to the ground.
Oh, like that was him?
His teammate was Broderick Thomas, and he knocked him.
So
to
you
the
think
ground.
That's why?
No, but I think that doesn't do him any favors.
Because I was reading is that he had a neck injury or something.
He had spinal.
Yeah, and he hasn't really been. He's been trying to come back since then.
But that's why the Steelers did let him play. The Steelers let him play in the preseason, and it warranted Dallas enough to say, okay, he's good to go. Like, that's why
they missed trade. I'll trust. One thing we seem to evaluate well is offensive linemen, so I'll trust him. But I'm just saying, a 2023 first-round pick, offensive lineman, and getting him for what we got him for, you know, that just makes me raise some flags. That's all. Because, dude, there are plenty of bombs at offensive line. We just don't know because we always pick them well for some reason. You know what I mean? But if you go through drafts, there's a lot of offensive linemen that do not do well that come from the first round, which is crazy because you think they'd be amazing. But there's quite a few. So I'm just hoping this isn't one of them. But what do we get for them, right? We didn't give much. We actually
We gave a third round and got a fourth back.
Right. Yeah, that's nothing. I think, right? Third and a sixth.
So it's worth a shot, I guess.
Well, this is a very Pickens-esque deal because if he does get released, we get a comp pick anyway, which would be a fourth rounder probably.
It's always whether it's 11 days before the season starts, it's a competition all year round. They're always, you know, this is you could have a bad a guy that's not playing well in week three and they're going to put somebody in. I mean, it's always a competition. You got to do your job every week. So whether it's 11 days before or a week before a game, it doesn't matter. I mean, obviously they're not have full faith in Terrence Steele. So, you know, that happens a lot, but I mean, if the best man wins the job, I mean, you know, if it's a weak link, which that's been coming around that that's like a weak link in the chain of the offensive line, then we got to fix it. So, you know,
an update?
Sam Williams signs with the Browns.
Okay.
There you go.
Where careers go to die. So good luck, Sam.
Good luck to him, man.
No, of course. I love it. I do not wish any luck towards Jaden Blue, you jerk.
What did he do?
He signed with the Eagles. Like, come on.
Oh, Jaden Blue did? Oh, okay. Never mind that.
No, he's done. He's dead to me. Dead to me. I'm done with him.
I just saw a lot of I thought he played great in
he did, bro. He did. But what's he supposed to say, Sturge? He doesn't have a job right now. He's supposed to say no to the Eagles. So he doesn't hurt our feelings.
People were calling it to me. They're like, as soon as he got cut, my dad said it literally 4 minutes later. He's like, he's signing with Washington or the Eagles. So get mentally prepared for that. And I was like, all right, Pop. As of 51 minutes ago, Joe Milton was not claimed off waivers. He is now a free agent. So all the Patrick Walker says, and I quote, and all the quote, absolutely no way he clears waivers post, aged poorly quickly. Now let's see if he returns to the Cowboys and they want him on the practice squad. So we'll see. I mean,
how many can you have on the practice squad again?
I think 16 or something like that. It's a bigger number since
COVID. We need a third quarterback just in case, bro.
And there's nothing that hurts the idea of bringing on that third guy that suits up. You know, everybody needs an emergency three. So they made a corresponding move. You're telling me that Joe Milton shouldn't get one of the spots on the practice squad based off of the guys I saw that they signed back to the practice squad? Absolutely. Yeah. Bring back Joe.
But Mason. I actually like our practice squad. But it's one of the more exciting ones we've had. You got Trey at tight end. You got Justin Barron, the guy who had three picks against, or four picks, whatever it was, against the Rams. You got Isaiah Land, the outside linebacker who played well in preseason. Jordan Hudson, the guy I brought up earlier who killed the last preseason game. Curtis Robinson, the linebacker who I liked in preseason and started the first game, who didn't play that well. So we got – and Reddy Stewart, like you said, Sturt. So we got some ballers on our practice squad.
The guys, as of 21 minutes ago, the following guys got claimed. Julius Wood went to Miami.
Yeah.
Trevor Keegan went to the Vikings. Sam Williams, like you said, went to the Browns. Zion Childress went to Carolina. Bridges went to Cincinnati. And Jaden Blue is now with the Eagles. So – you know, it's interesting. We'll see how this all plays out. Obviously there's nothing you can say to, you know, instill any confidence that Joe Milton will be back on the team. And I shouldn't be this bent about the backup quarterback not being brought back. I don't really care. But we've seen that catastrophic things happen to QB1 over here in Dallas. So we definitely need a comparable.
I was going to say, I was reading something where it said, Dak Prescott has not completed two seasons in a row without being injured since 2019.
Great.
So just so you know. So this was his this is one season. He wasn't injured last year. So hopefully we can get this one cleared.
I'm really happy with what let's talk about what we kept. Sure. I'm really happy with the linebacker room. I think and again, if we have the same performance last year with our linebackers that we do this year, I'm just done. I mean, on paper, they look great. You know what I mean? Overshown James, and then we got D Winners, and then Barham.
Barham, he turned a lot of heads. A lot of people like him. We talked a lot about him last week. Him being the inside, right now listed as inside linebackers are, yeah, like you said, Overshown and Winters, and then behind them is Shamar James and Barham. I like that.
And they're all young, by the way. It's we have a young linebacker room, which is good, and they're all ballers.
Well, bro, you know what happened? I don't know if you were able to watch. I don't think you were able to watch the game, but they gave Barham the green dot, I believe, in the last preseason game because everyone was saying played middle, and they went right down our throats. And he's learning, I know, and I'm not coming down on him, but it's a big deal to play that quarterback linebacker position. That's why it's good that Overshown is
Overshown is
in that middle.
But you also have right now, you also have D linemen that are on the that are getting cut, and you know everything has to play
for sure.
Play,
but I mean, they were even pointing it out. Like he was in the wrong position a couple times.
That one play, Keith, that we were both like, uh-oh.
Yeah, he took on the wrong shoulder. Just like, you know, little stuff like that where you see where you're like, okay, you know. But the kid's going to be a baller for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
we got to just groom him and just, you know.
And on paper, our cornerback room looks pretty good too on paper. I love Rebel, man. I love Rebel.
I mean, love Rebel too.
We're also seeing two guys, I mean, if we knock on wood, in Overshown and Rebel that are fully healthy going into the season. So, you know, we'll see, man. I mean, Bland too. Bland was playing pretty good, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and like I said before, I think with the pass rush the way it could be, you know, we're going to see a little bit more, you know, a little better play out of these corners in the second.
We're hoping.
Yeah. And Amir Speed makes the team. He came in out of the UFL, and he just, you know, he surpassed guys like Josh Butler.
Yeah, what was that, dude? That one kind of shocked me when I saw him. I honestly, bro, I don't even remember us talking about him once on the show.
Yeah.
Amir Speed.
No.
Like, no one's ever mentioned his name, and I'm going down. I'm like, wait, who's this guy? And I looked him up, and I saw the UFL, and I was like, whoa.
So from what I gather, there was a lot of good practices that this dude was putting together. He wasn't jumping off the film on game film because we watched the games thoroughly, right? So there wasn't a time where and none of us texted each other like, "Ooh, you see Speed?" You know, like wasn't a thing.
Which
so
could be a good thing too, though, right? Because they're not passing on him. Maybe he's shutting them down. We just can't see the whole field, you know?
Right. I mean, that's the one. Imagine that stat. Like, that's a stat that goes unrecognized. Like a stat where it's like attempts thrown to your side. You know, I know that I know somebody will keep that stat, but like, that's probably the coolest stat to have. Like, nobody wants to throw to me. You know, like that's a good
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No, it's true. It's true, bro. Yeah. That's huge.
Just like a DPI.
Did Pete clear waivers? We got to sign him. We got to sign Pete. Did he clear waivers?
He definitely cleared waivers. He went back to the tribe, actually. No, I really don't know what happened.
Dude, I wish we could have him on our practice squad.
I just want him to just do the pregame speeches. That's all.
That's it. Yeah. Right.
And just do kind of some kind of sign language, and then fucking Free Willy comes flying over Texas.
Listen, man, I looked him up, and you know, he played really well, man, in college. I think, and he's a big dude, man. But who knows? Offensive line is such a weird thing to assess. You know, the footwork, there, all that stuff. You know, defense we can look at. I can kind of figure it out. I can't figure out what makes a great offensive lineman. Other than, you know, we just watch when they do their job, but that little back shuffle they do and all that shit.
Speaking of footwork,
the stress factory doing the pulling guard.
Yeah.
speaking of footwork, I have a new favorite player. That's not a Dallas Cowboy.
Wait, let's think about this. What team does he play for?
Well, he said he played for the 49ers.
Oh, that guy's great. That guy's awesome.
Dude, that guy's my fucking hero, dude. Oh my God! Did you see him doing a what was it the karaoke thing that where he's doing his footwork? He's awful. Bro, he's in the garage. You're like, oh, he's gonna be in there. So, all the ladies, all you have to do. I don't know, ladies really listen to us, except Sturch's mom and our mom, but all you got to do is find a buddy that is really into football and just say, can you tell me if this guy's legit? We would tell you in a second that this guy was full of shit, but this guy's brilliant, by the way.
You know what
he was doing with the fucking Salvation Army and shit? Like, yeah. Oh, nah, man, it's Thanksgiving. I got to donate them turkeys, you know?
Dude, you know what's great is that I have a joke about this on stage, but, you know, you could Google anything now, but I can't tell you how many girls in 1994 thought I pitched for the Mets. I can't tell you how many girls when there was spring training and we'd be at a bar and I'm like, yeah, no, I pitched for the Mets.
Oh my God.
And right. With the exposure of the internet, like it's the easiest thing in the history of things.
Yeah. No, especially
figure
now.
Out who's who.
You right? Ready? Like, you ready?
One of
what do you got? What's he got?
So I would wear my ECAC championship ring from CW Post, and as so many girls thought I was with the Dolphins. They'd be like, "Oh, wait, did you play? You played for? Yeah."
Yeah, I just signed
with the Dolphins.
It was a safety.
You
saw me.
That kid took it to the next level, and then there's all these girls, these guys online that are talking about how their girls left them for him. And he robbed them too. Like he was stealing money from them and everything.
No, bro, $1.2 million.
That's the part we don't laugh at. Like,
why? See, that's what makes him perfect is that he made $1.2 million. What are you talking about? Hey, so did you know the guy who one-upped everyone, and I don't mean to drift away from this, have you ever seen that soccer player who played 20 seasons?
Yes.
And never got into the game once. He'd always fake an injury. And he swindled all these soccer clubs into thinking he was some star. For 20 seasons, he got away with it. Sturch, I'll send you the article. The guy's phenomenal. The guy's so perfect. So one of the owners, really quick, of the soccer team said, you're playing him, because he was on to him almost. He goes, I want to see him play. I'm giving him all this money. So right before the soccer match starts, he runs and gets in a fight with somebody in the crowd. So the owner was like, the owner got on him. He's like, I knew it. He goes, what are you talking about? That guy was bashing you. I was just protecting your honor. So the owner was like, oh, okay. Because phenomenal, too.
Yeah, anyways. No, if the Cowboys can grab that fake corner, that'd be great, dude. I think it would add to our depth and sell a lot of jerseys. I know that. But yes, that was one of the more interesting things that I've seen in a long time. Like just the lengths he would go. Like he's on an empty practice field with a fucking helmet on nonetheless by himself.
Oh, he's on the beach. You see him on the beach? On the beach running routes? That was the best one.
Oh my God.
So
anyway.
Yeah. But overall, so what would you rate if you were to like confidence level going into this season on a scale from 1 to 10, what would you give this team right now?
Brett, you want to start?
You go first.
Okay. going into the season, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would probably say my confidence level of doing something. Now, there's levels to this, Keith. Like, there's like where our confidence of like waving the. What did I do? Oh, you're trying to get.
You didn't do anything. I'm out of focus again, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. Go ahead.
Just put a piece of white paper or something. It's a white balance thing. Anyway, so I will say, going into the year, as quiet as it's been, which is the reason why I really like the team right now, is because of how quiet it was. George Pickens signing on the tag and like the corresponding moves they're making within the free agency and the Von Miller splash. Like, guys, I know we've been doing this show for a long time and like, I guess 5 years, but I think if there's no time to make the biggest impact in our podcast's history, and maybe in the last 30 fucking years, maybe it's time we get to the title game. I'm not saying we're going to win it. I'm not saying we're going to the Super Bowl, but I'm saying like maybe it's time to finally get over the hump of that divisional title round and then go from there. I really think Dak Prescott's team playing on an all-time level. I think the defense by default has to be better, and we see it on paper clearly, but like
it can't be worse. It's either going to be the same or it can't be worse.
Right. It can't be worse. And I think that that's a perfect recipe for the Cowboys to make some noise quickly in the NFC East alone. And then we'll see what happens from there. But I would say if I had to rank it, I'd give myself an 8 right now, confidence wise. 8.
I'm at an 8 too, because the way I look at it is, unless our offense shits the bed and our defense doesn't improve, then it's status quo. Right. Like, well, actually, no, because like we all already agreed, if our defense played 25% better last year, we're at least in the playoffs. I mean, we own the NFC East. We were 4-2 in the NFC East. And it's just, you know, we hope the offense stays consistent. I mean, we were what, number one or number two last year?
No, we were cruising at one point. Yeah.
So if we have a top 10 offense, I think we were definitely top 5 last year. If we have a top 10 offense and our defense is at least at 20, we can make the playoffs going on last year.
All right.
So I'm at an eight. So
you have an 8. All right.
Keith, cover your whole thing and then like
I don't know what the fuck is going on over there.
Should be all right after
Could
that.
Could be the heat. Could be the heat.
Can't stand the heat. Stay out the kitchen. There you go, dog. You're good now. Go ahead.
Anyways, I give it a 7. Okay. Last year, I'd give it a 4. And the year before that, I'd give it a 4. And the year before that, I'd give it a 4. Unlike, I believe you guys were probably 9, 10. I know Brett was 10 that one year when he had us going to the Super Bowl. So I meant this is a 7 for me.
Which is a big jump from the 4.
It is. Because of the defense. And the main reason why is the defense. And like I said, I'm trying to look at a reason not to like them, which is why I brought up the defensive line. I'm trying not to go in with such high expectations. Shit, I'll let you in on a clue. I took them as my fantasy defense, like, which sounds crazy. I know.
That's big.
But
that's big,
anyways, I know. But you know what? Defenses, you can always switch out, you know, all year. But anyways, but my thing is so, yeah, I go with a seven. And you know what we didn't do? Because next week is game week.
Well, next week will be win-loss next week.
No, we usually do that before because we usually talk about the Giants game that week.
You want to roll right now?
Yeah, we don't have to go. If we could go through each one and just say, don't give our reason, just say win-loss. Let's see what we come up with.
I'm absolutely cool with that.
And we'll close out the show with that.
I'm good with it.
Some win-loss. All right, cool. I'll pull up the schedule. And, yeah, we'll give our knee-jerk win-loss-win-losses. All right, Dallas Cowboys 2026 schedule. Here we go. All right. We're going to go in order here. We'll start with Keith, and then I'll always be the middle guy, so you guys can't butt each other, like, back and forth. Well, I guess whatever. It doesn't matter.
It don't matter. I was going to say, y'all.
What now?
Shit. Yeah, I was going to say that. All right, I'm good. I'll go first. That's fine.
All right.
Well, just read the game and then we'll go. And then we'll
okay. All right. So here we go. I'm going to mark down tick marks as far as wins. Right. So then it'll be easy to say like what their record is without thinking too much into it. Keith, Brett, Dave. All right. Week one, Giants on the road. Obviously we're starting there. I'll probably wind up being there for that one. So Keith, what do we got?
Give me the W, dog. Give me the All W. Right.
I'm going to say we're going to beat the Giants as well. Brett.
I think we on paper, we should win.
Okay.
It's a must-win game, though.
No, he jokes, but I'm like, you.
No, we have to win that game. We have to win that game.
You have to win.
I'm mad. Come on.
No. This year, you have to. All the hype, and we get run out of town.
You don't. You don't. You don't. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why it's a must-win. No, go ahead.
Brett, week two, home opener, Washington Commanders.
Got to win. I think it's a W.
I also agree it's going to be a W there. Keith?
W. Right.
So we're 2-0. All of us are 2-0 going into Brazil against the Ravens. I'll start with this one. I think they beat the Ravens. How about that? So I think they go into Brazil. They're the international juggernauts that they are. Everybody loves the Cowboys no matter where you are. America's team, a global team, Lake of America, whatever. Doesn't fucking matter. The Cowboys win this game. They're 3-0. Keith?
Good, bro.
Oh, all right.
You just said you. Go ahead. I think we might lose this game just because of the time change. But if we lose this game, we come back and beat Houston. If we win That's this game, we come back and lose to Houston. So I'm going to think we take the L. Okay. I think we take the L against Baltimore.
Keith?
Just so everyone knows, we've only beaten the Ravens once. Once.
Was it Dak Prescott,
his rookie year. That's the only time we've ever beat him. And let's not forget that they beat us the last game in Texas Stadium.
John Harbaugh led Ravens team every single time, but go ahead.
Yeah. So all whatever that means, but I'm going to go not every time. We lost to a homeboy too. The coach before him.
Jim Harbaugh has been the coach there since 2000. Like,
no, dude, the coach that took him to their first Super Bowl win. What the hell his name is? Childress or whatever the hell is. I don't remember his name. But anyways, we get the L on that one, guys.
Okay, so I'm the only one with a 3-0 Cowboy team.
Don't do the count. Don't do that. Let's just go all the way through and then count.
All right, here we go. We're back into the States, but we're staying in Texas, but we're going to Houston. I'll start it off. I think we lose this game, and I'm not sure why, but I think we lose this game. But anyway,
I can't
stomach going 4-0. So it's like, you know, because if they go 4-0, I'm already starting to plan my flight to the fucking Super Bowl and shit. So just give me 3-1. Anyway, Keith, what do you got on this one?
Oh, win. I don't think the Texans offense is going to be able to, if our defense plays the way I think it's going to play, I think we win the Battle of Texas, especially in Houston.
A little revenge for 03. It's like, Brett, what do you got?
Like I said, I think they flip-flop. So we lose to the Ravens. We win in Houston.
All right. So that's
3-1 right now. Oh, we don't want to do that.
We don't want to do that.
Yeah, just go to the end.
All right. So then, wait. So you said, Keith, you said we win. All right. So there's four games in. The only loss you took was
Ravens.
Brazil. Okay. Sorry. Okay. We are now back home the following week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm going to start it off. I think we beat the Bucs. Keith.
I agree.
All right. Brett.
On paper, we should. I know that they're in a little disarray right now as well.
And then all eyes on October 18th, as we think that Micah Parsons will probably make his debut for the year at Green Bay. Sorry, folks. Cowboys are going to go into Green Bay and win that game. So that's five. That's five for me. Brett, we'll start with you on this one. Do they go into Green Bay and win?
I was going to say, I for some reason, I think we win this game, man.
It's not. Because, it's
you know, if the schedule's going the way we think it is, we're going to be crescendoing. Don't worry. I know what game we're going to crash and burn, and it's going to start downhill. But I think right now everybody's going to be talking about the Cowboys. We come in, we win, and then the next week.
We'll see about that. Now, Keith, what do you got for this one?
Well, I'd say the last couple times the Packers have played us has been with some of the shittiest defense I've ever seen, even in the playoff quins. But I think we come in and I think we win this game.
All right. We are now going on the road in the division. Start with Keith against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Loss.
Brett.
Loss.
I'm also giving a loss on the road here against the Eagles. Week number 8, November the 1st, home against the Cardinals. I'm going to give them a win here. Brett?
I think we lose.
Interesting. All right,
Keith. It's Cardinals.
I know. It's a Cardinal stigma. I get it.
It's at home. This is when we start to slide.
Oh shit! All right.
Brett has a point, but even I would say because we lost to the Eagles, we win now. And the thing with the Cards is, guys, we've lost to Josh Dobbs, we lost to Jacoby Brissett, we lose to them. It just happens that we just fucking lose to them. But like I said, this defense is hopefully going to be a little different. So,
all right. So I'm just going to do this for the math reasons.
Go ahead,
Keith. You have 6 wins right now.
Okay.
You do? Okay, I'm asking you if you're confirming. All right, Brett with 5, myself with 6. All right, here we go. Staying on the road, Indianapolis. I think the Colts are going to be kind of bad. I don't know why. I just have this feeling that they're not going to be as good. Daniel Jones, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And Richardson's just not non-existent. He almost got cut. I'm going to give him a win on the road in Indy, which is, again, it sounds kind of ridiculous how hot they're starting right here, but whatever. Keith, what do you got?
I got a win.
All right, Brett?
I got a win, and it's always a win. We'll beat an AFC team, which isn't in the division, and then it comes back to bite us in the ass that we're going to lose to the Cardinals. But go ahead.
All right. A game I will possibly be going to, which I think is all but finalized. We're back home November the 15th against the San Francisco 49ers. I'll start with Keith.
Loss.
All right, Brett.
Win.
All right. I am also going to give the Cowboys a win here. I just think we're the better team. The Niners are just...
Well, here's what's going to happen. We're going to be all hyped up. They're going to do it all. We're going to win that game. We're going to get all excited. All right, we're playing great. Like when we beat Kansas City on Thanksgiving. And then who do we got the next week, Sturch?
That's a dig at me. But
no, at me too, man.
I know. Well, if we lose the following week, I'll be very upset. We're back at home. Against the Titans, I'm giving them another win.
Yeah, but, you know, they're a young team, Sturge. We're going basing everything off of last year, but
go ahead, Keith. And what do you got?
Oh, I got the Cowboys.
Okay. And Brett, what do we got?
Just for the PTSD this team has caused me, I could see us beating the Niners and then losing to the Titans, but I got to give them the W on paper.
Okay. The following week, it's Thanksgiving. We're splitting with the Eagles. I'm giving them another win. That's an Eagle win on Thanksgiving Day. Keith?
I say the same.
Okay. And Brett?
If history says anything, we win.
Okay. And then we are going to Seattle on Monday Night Football on December the 7th. So it's going to be nasty, rainy, shitty. I will say this is where we take a loss here to the champions. So that's a loss for me, Keith.
Oh, we're going to win that game.
All right. Brett, how do you feel about this one?
I got us losing. Okay. I got us losing.
It is physically impossible to lose the following week, week 14, late bye, which I think plays into the Cowboys' hands very, very well.
That's a must win.
It's a must win bye week. Must win means stay out of trouble, stay out of jail, just don't do anything stupid. The following week, though, is going to be the one that's going to probably, if it's not a Sunday Night Football game off the top of my head, it will be. They'll flex the shit out of it. It's actually right now, it's a 4:25 CBS game, so maybe they have it. It's against the Rams in LA. This will be the test, but it's going to lead to my story later, so I'm going to give them a loss here to the Rams on the road. Keith.
L.
Brett.
It's probably an L. I mean, I think the Rams are going to, on paper, should be the best team. That's the
bro,
team.
If you say on paper one more time, I'm going to throw this computer through the window.
Well, on paper.
Jesus. All right. The final three games of the season. We're back home after what I think and everybody thinks is going to be a loss to the Rams. I think they handle the Jaguars, give them a win on December the 27th. Keith?
The Jags, I say W.
Okay. Brett?
Same.
Okay. Now, final 2 weeks of the year, we're home against the Giants. Give me that dub all day long. The Giants, I don't think, are going to be as good as everybody thinks they might be. I don't see it. We'll start with Brett on this one.
I mean, on paper, we should win.
On paper it is. Keith?
I think this game is too important to lose at that time for us. So I think we win.
All right. So now, just as records show, going into the final week of the season, let's see, we got six.
Why don't you just do the last one? Just do the last one.
We're at the Commanders. They at the Commanders on, looks like week 18, which will probably be somewhere around January 9th or 10th. I say this is going to be one of those. Based on my record, they sit a lot of guys, but we still win anyway. So I'm giving them a final win at the end of the year.
Keith, why you think Washington's going to make sit guys because they're going to be out of contention or in contention or going to be?
No, we're going to sit guys. But go ahead, Brett. What do you think?
Oh, okay. I think it's going to be a must win because we lost to 1, 2, 3, 4. NFC teams. So I think we're going to come out and we're going to win that game. And we're not sitting anybody because we always lose to those fucking division NFC teams. That always hurts us when the playoffs come around.
Keith?
So I think we win it.
So this is a tricky one. Only because, like, I've seen two times where we were already in the playoffs and we played Washington. The one time is when last game of the year, that's when Sam Howell beat us and Dak played like shit, one of the worst games I've ever seen him play. And then the other time was when we made the playoffs 2 years ago and we lit him up at the end of the year. Same thing. So when we already made the playoffs. I'm with Brett on this. Like, if we need this game, we're going to win it. Absolutely, we're going to win it. But
okay.
I don't think we're going to need it, but I still say we win.
Oh, you just took me on a ride right there.
All
right,
I know. I still say we win because who's going to play? Sam Howell, his old team. So we're good.
Well, guys, the whole confidence level question before goes out the fucking window because according to our way too early, no injuries ever happened predictions and how the season plays out. Unfortunately, the worst record we have is Brett at 12-5. So that is the worst record we have. And myself and Keith have the Dallas Cowboys going 13-4.
Okay.
Fuck. Like, that, to me, that's going to be enough for a one seed, you would think, right?
No, it's not, dude. Not nowadays. No freaking way.
13-4?
Yeah, not nowadays, dude. No way.
All right, so we're also going to obviously make weekly predictions as the season goes along, as we always do. But what I will say is that loss to the Rams, the revenge happens in the playoffs, and we get them back. That's where
I'll be. You might want to put your confidence up to 10 there, Sturge.
Actually, I'm going to
change my confidence starts to dip in the playoffs.
Actually, you know what? I am going to change my confidence. We're going to go from an 8 to a motherfucking 12, okay? The Cowboys this year, if not now, never in my lifetime. So I honestly think I'm not, and you know me, I'm not this like, it's our year every year. It's not. If I know the defense sucks, they're gonna struggle. No, you know what? I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back and watch or listen to all of my predictions, like early prediction shows, just to see where I'm at every year. There was never a year where I said, hey, guys, this could be the year. I feel that confidence oozing through my veins right now because of the lack of attention being put in the fucking Vegas line at 9. And, like, what are we missing that they are? It's like, I think they have all the right to prove a lot of people wrong this year. That's what I think.
Dude, we've had to prove them wrong the last 30 years.
I know.
Not just this year.
And that's fine. Hey, well, I love the comments I love the most are they're like, oh, you mean the one and done Cowboys? I'm like, motherfucker, read a book, dude. Like,
no, there's worse teams that haven't won a playoff since us. Well,
I think it's
Niners haven't won a Super Bowl.
We're the last team. Yeah, but we are the last team in the NFC to make an NFC championship, guys. That's pretty embarrassing. I'm just saying, especially where we are with win totals. If you look at our win totals, I saw something the other day since 2000. We're like number 7. Everyone above us has been to a Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl. We haven't even been to a fucking championship game. So, yeah, there's something to us choking in the playoffs. Sorry. There is.
And whether you're second place or sixth place or eighth place, you're not first place. And you could brag about going to an NFC championship game and losing or winning. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. The goal is to win Super Bowls. The only thing I'm seeing in the league right now, like last year, Seattle won. You're going to have a champion by default, but were they really a dominant Super Bowl team? I don't know. You're not seeing that as much anymore. Now the Rams on the other hand, again, could be that juggernaut in the NFC on paper, but I see so much mediocrity in the NFL now as far as like how every team's playing that the parity is there. So you could be a little above average team and still win a championship
to your point.
So Dallas can easily go to the NFC championship game. I mean, there's no reason they can't other than, I mean, look,
no one's like saying they can't. No one's saying they can't. It's just that we haven't been able to in 30 years.
No, I know. But what I meant is like, even last year, as piss poor as our team was playing on defense, we were still in contention at the end of the season. And we were 4-2 in the NFC East with not even a complete team.
No. For sure. But I meant,
I'm saying is that there.
But we've had a complete team and still didn't make. I mean, it does. What I'm trying to say is that nothing's went our way. People have a right to shit on us.
I agree. I'm just getting back to where the state of the league is now. Like in the 90s, you would say, okay, could be the Niners year, could be the Cowboys year, could be the Eagles year. I mean, you had teams that were just fucking solid teams.
Packers.
The Packers were coming.
Then again, but we honestly don't have that anymore. No. You had, no. In the 80s, you always knew who was going to the Super Bowl. Was it going to be the Niners or was it going to be the, like, you would know. But nowadays, nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
To Brett's point about saying about Seattle, like, there's not one, and again, maybe this is just me being ignorant to Seattle, but like, there's not one ounce of me that when they won the Super Bowl and they go into the offseason where I'm like, they can do it again.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there was no part of me that thought that.
It's a team nobody predicted to win anything, not even their division last year. That's why.
My point is, basically, it's not so much that the Cowboys are going to be great. It's just that the rest of the league, everything is just subpar football. I mean, we all know it. We've been watching it our whole lives. It's just a different game now, and it's a different league. And, you know, again, everybody has every right to shit on us. What's crazy to me is the rest of the NFL, we were so good. The rest of the NFL had 30 years to catch up, and I think we're still third in NFC championship appearances. I think we're still like tied third for Super Bowl appearances, and we haven't been in 30 fucking years. That just shows you how the league and even the play, everything is just parody now.
It's also because the Patriots kind of hogged it for like fucking 12 years or whatever.
Not in the NFC. I'm talking about the NFC.
NFC. Yeah, no,
you're talking about the NFC, dude. Yeah.
But mind you, there was teams like Rex Grossman led Bears were headed to the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Like there was some teams that were like, why the fuck are they even remotely close to this game?
I mean, but you get that a lot. Like even when the Patriots went to their first Super Bowl against the Bears, I mean, you know, they were a wild card team. The Dolphins got knocked out. Yeah, you always had that. I'm saying, going into the next season, and I know my brother would feel that we knew Dallas was going to be a good team going into 92, 93. Like you saw the progression, the players, the team play. Like my biggest example is you don't have a dominant defensive unit. I think the last may have been the Legion of Boom. Or even the Ravens, where like you have these defensive units that are coming in that have played together for so long that, right, you know, Monsters of the Midway, Doomsday, Purple People Eaters, like you don't have any, the Steel Curtain, you don't have that anymore because, you know, there's just so much parity.
What's our offensive name again? I forget.
Gotti.
Ugh.
Gotti. So
so anyway. Greatest offense there is.
I love the confidence, Dak. I love it. So anyway, I'm going to get myself a gaudy neck chain pendant with my next to my Hot Boys one.
Don't do that because you'll get Rico. Imagine the feds Rico the Cowboys because they call themselves Gotti.
In any event.
Bro, how gangster was Lawrence though, man? How badass was that? How he predicted he was going to win a Super Bowl after he left us. I mean, we all laughed. I laughed. Like, bitch, you ain't winning shit in Seattle with Sam Darnold, dumbass. and he does it.
And now he's having the time of his life on Hard Knocks, and I'm like, this is disgusting. I can't do this right now.
Look at
Dan Quinn. I mean, you know, he's getting blamed for the defense, which whatever was going on there. We bring in Eberflus, and then Quinn takes the Washington to the NFC Championship game the next season. The year before, whatever.
Yeah, Zimmer was our defensive coordinator. That's what you mean, though. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like people leave and do better.
Yeah. Well,
anyway. I agree. I forgot who was saying that.
But him coming out and saying it is like, that's just like. Well, on a team like Seattle
said,
at the time.
What he said was he wasn't going to win one with us.
Yeah, but he's referring to he wants to win a Super Bowl, and he did that year.
In his fucking first year.
And he's retiring after this year. He's done.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, this is his last year, yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, he's got his. He's going to ride off into the sunset.
Oh, well. Guess what, though? Guess what? You know he's wrong. You know he's going to kiss our ass, though, and want to come back because all ex-Cowboys make the most money ever.
Oh, you didn't see some of the tweets that I saw in pregame when it was us against the Seahawks. He's dapping up Jerry Jones, and somebody, my boy Jay Tuck, was the one who was like, he's coming back, by the way. Like, he will be back on a one-year deal for some bullshit just to be there. And, like, yeah, no.
You could bring up, and I honestly, he did an excellent job in that preseason game, Isaiah Stanback. Fantastic. Way better than, you know, Babe Laufenberg, I think, when I see him do the games. But, dude, he was there for a cup of coffee, as you would say, Sturge. He was barely on our team. But look, since he was a Dallas Cowboy, you know, I mean, at least our boy Jesse Holly, you know, he did some badass plays for us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, at least that's
I don't even remember him catching a pass, Isaiah Stanback. No, he was on our team, but I don't remember that.
Imagine being brought back and hired to do Cowboys media, and then they're like, fuck, we thought that was Jesse Holly.
You remember when he said that? We all confused him.
Like, oh, how are you going to fire him now? Like, oh, shit. Anyway.
Yeah.
Wins and losses, the early knee-jerk reactions, all that fun shit today on the Jersey Boys podcast. Be sure to subscribe to all the podcasts and everything like that.
And I guess next time we'll be up discussing week one.
Yes, we will. We will figure out the time next week. I know Labor Day is coming up, but next week is game week. Very excited. The NFL kicks off. But before that, we got some college to take care of. I know I do. I got to go to – I watch the Rutgers Scarlet Knights against UMass as if, like, that's going to be a contest. But, hey, you never know. That's why they play the game. So, for Brett Ernst, Keith Ernst, and Dave Sturcio, this has been another episode of the Jersey Boys Podcast. We'll see you guys next time. Let's go, Cowboys.
Hey, this is Tony Soprano, and you're listening to Jersey Boys Podcast with your hosts, Dave Sturcio and the Ernst Boys. I mean, I could give a shit about the Cowboys. We're New Jersey. These guys got balls being Cowboys fans in Jersey. Anyways, enjoy. Whatever.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!